Well, a bigger hall is taken so that more people can do the exercises. And we intend to begin at 4 o'clock with the exercises. Just because there are more chairs, people are inclined to be lazy and forego exercises. What do we do? Shall we begin the exercises first? Or shall we begin the talks first? Today at least, what shall we do? We begin the talks? Okay. You can relax for an hour more on those chairs. Before I begin, today I have to make an announcement. I want some volunteers. Very dedicated volunteers. Those who are willing will have to spare more than 3 hours a day for a very intensive program. These volunteers shall not follow the formula 365 minus 1 is 0, but will follow the formula no minus, year after year after year. Those who want to offer their services as volunteers will have to write and give me. I am willing to offer my services totally and of my own free will. I shall set aside any time of the day as required by the program. I shall keep my mind and my heart always open. I shall unlearn whatever I have read or heard on my own earlier in my life. I promise not to divulge whatever I am taught till I am given permission. I want to be useful to those who need my assistance whenever I am able to assist. If you can write like this and give me and come forward as volunteers, you will be accepted and inducted into a very intensive program. How many of you are willing to offer your services as volunteers? It will be defined later. But minimum 3 hours a day out of the 24 hours. It can be day, it can be night. Yeah. So, those who want to offer me, please give in writing. From Bombay, I want at least 20 volunteers. The point to be understood clearly is that those not accepted should not feel that they are not worthy. There may be many reasons why I may not accept a person. Not necessarily that that person is not up to the mark. And secondly, after being accepted, And after going through a part of the program, I may still drop a volunteer. Again, it should not be understood that he or she has failed in some manner and that is why he or she is dropped. Is that very clear? The program is going to be very intensive, physically, emotionally, mentally, psychically. So with this, we begin in this new place, a place you wanted all your time, a bigger place, for a bigger gathering. Bigger gathering only makes me nervous, because the bigger the gathering, the more people will not understand, because those who understand are few. So, and confirm that the cause of man's delusion is fragmentation and disputation in his mind. Because of this fragmentation, because of this disputation, that means doubts, arguments, because of this, certain practices along the lines of yoga are very necessary. Why is the mind fragmented? In the first place, if you have read earlier notes and if you have attended earlier meetings, you will realize that the word mind is misplaced. The word should be the brain of man. The brain of man is fragmented. The brain of man is fragmented, and therefore it is always busy in disputation. Disputation arises from doubt. Why is the brain of man fragmented? Why? God has given a human being an organ called brain, which is perhaps unique in the whole universe. It could be unique and wonderful provided it is not fragmented. Fragmented in the sense that is the four aspects of the brain, namely intellectual, emotional, sex and movement, they do not coordinate. Either of these fragment, either intellectual, either emotional, either sex, is predominant. If either of this fragment is predominant, there is no balance. And therefore, yoga teaches balance and rhythm so that these fragments would work in coordination. How are they made to work in coordination will depend upon the various breathing exercises and the other exercises which shall take care of emotion and mental gymnastics. We begin on 241. Book 2.1. The yoga of action leading to union with the soul is fiery aspiration, spiritual reading, and devotion to Ishvara. The yoga of action. What does yoga of action mean? It is not the normal day-to-day action of our ordinary life. Yoga of action means a laid-down path along which one proceeds, as stated here, with fiery aspiration. Fiery aspiration, meaning not lukewarm. As most people tell me, I am interested in yoga. Interest in yoga has no meaning. Yoga means a way of life. If it is a way of life, it's worth living. And there's no question whether you're interested or not interested. If it's a way of life, you have to live it. And this way of life is to be consciously lived. This way of life has a meaning behind it. This way of life has a purpose behind it. In every breath you take, in every word you speak, in every little step that you take, if there is no purpose, it's not yoga. It's not a way of life. You are just existing. And therefore, the description, fiery aspiration, people have, in some cases, fiery aspiration to collect the things of this material world. Compared to fiery aspiration on the path, even this type of aspiration in the material world is very slow. When a man is seized with the obsession of treading this path, there's nothing in his mind, there's nothing in his heart except how he will proceed along the path. Nothing else seems worthy. Here also there is danger. Like the two wheels of a cart. If it loses one, the cart cannot move. The material side of life and the spiritual side of life form two wheels of the cart. And both are to be taken care of. Both must move. And the balance that we maintain between these two, the material life and the spiritual life, is yoga. Normally, people drop one of the two wheels. They either go into isolation, to an ashram. In some cases, they leave the family also, thinking this is all mine, which is not true. If you are born in this world, if you have accepted certain obligations, you have to fulfill them. No obligations come in our life as obstacles, none. So, genuinely fulfilling our obligations in the material world, we are still not to lose sight of the other path, the spiritual path, for a moment. Every breath makes you aware as to how much you have to do, how much you have to progress along the path. That is why your fiery aspiration is the word used for the last, God knows how many years, that you know the three-step rhythmic breathing. 100 times in the day you forget your three-step rhythmic breathing. If you forget three-step rhythmic breathing during the day because of your material involvement, how many more times you'll forget your duty to the spiritual path. Don't also forget the three-step rhythmic breathing. You'll easily forget the obligations to the spiritual path. With three-step breathing, with every breath, you are conscious of your duty to the spiritual path. In spite of my repeated requests, after years, there may not be one person here amongst you who will raise his hand and say, "Yes, I am continuing 24 hours a day the three-step rhythmic breathing." Not one. In spite of some years of requests. If this is the Kaliga, what will you offer me as volunteers? Think well before you offer yourself as volunteers. I will be expecting many more things from you. And difficult things. The second qualification is spiritual reading. The yoga of action leading to union with the soul is fiery aspiration, spiritual reading. What is spiritual reading? When some of the things that I've already shown you, and then some of the things I am yet to show you, when you will master them all, when your dedication will be many times more sincere than it is today, the same two pair of eyes that you've got today, with which you can barely see me sitting here, will be able to see through, will be able to see through mountains, will be able to see through mountains, will be able to see through any other human being. And one glance should be able to see through any object, any human being, at any distance. That is called spiritual reading. You know what you are missing. The more you delay, the more you are missing the riches. The riches you can never imagine. Such riches don't come your way in the material world. And spiritual reading is one of the earlier riches. There are others far more richer. That calls for dedication, absolute dedication. That is why in the Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, "O Arjuna, do not forget the twofold path." What does he say? He says, "O Arjuna, do not forget the twofold path." That means your obligations. Without trying to be very wise, because Arjuna was trying to be very wise, as if you are advising Krishna as to why he should not fight in that battle. So, Krishna tells Arjuna, "O Arjuna, do not forget the twofold path. Your duty in the material world, whether you have to send an arrow through Bhishma, or whether you have to send an arrow through Drona, do not argue. Do not forget your duty. Do not forget your material obligation. At the same time, do not forget that I am sitting in your heart and guiding you in this fearful battle. You see, those were the opening words of Krishna to Arjuna. Arjuna was supposed to be an accepted disciple of Lord Krishna, and yet he was hesitating to give himself up utterly, wholeheartedly to whatever Krishna would tell him. He took 707 slokas from Krishna to make Arjuna make up his mind. I am afraid I will have to recite 700,000 slokas before you will agree to stand by me on the spiritual path. You see, my friend, I have told you repeatedly, on this path, our life is like that of a mountaineer who is climbing the mountain. His one goal is to reach the top. Nevertheless, he does not forget the others who are behind him. There is always a helping hand like this. Though there is one hand like this to climb higher. I want someone to hold my hand when I extend my hand like this. Unfortunately, whether it is Bombay, whether it is Rajkot, whether it is Madhapur, whether it is Baroda, wherever I have gone, nobody is there to hold my hand when I extend it down. Now mind, I will still recite, if I have to, the 700,000 slokas, till somebody holds that hand. And the third aspect of the sutra is devotion to Ishvara. The word is devotion. I have always told you that the physical outer gurus are not important. That is why I don't allow any one of you to call me a guru. There can be no outer guru. There can be a friend. If he knows a little more to tell you. But there is only one guru, and that's the internal guru. It is that Krishna who is sitting in your heart, which the sutras say, Ishvara, the Gurudeva. There is no other guru, none whatsoever. But the preliminaries you can learn from a friend who may be a little ahead of you. And whenever I am extending my hand to you, I mean, please learn of the preliminaries so that one day that Gurudeva sitting in your heart will take you by the hand, and then there will be no delay on the path. But till then, I have to be there to show you the preliminaries. Even the preliminaries are difficult. Even they should be learned from a man who has experience. And I don't presume, but I would still like to assure you that I have a lot of experience behind me, not only in this life, but of many, many earlier lives. It is therefore up to you to take the distilled benefit of this experience and virtually goading you in every meeting. I'm pushing you, I'm goading you. Seems to be very stubborn, don't want to move. Perhaps I don't appeal to you sufficiently. You see, this sutra is a very advanced sutra. Is extremely advanced sutra. It talks about communication. You have found this book. I've just stated that the human brain is fragmented. As long as the human brain is fragmented, it cannot communicate with chitti, the divine mind, the mind of God. They cannot communicate with chitti. That same mind of God, the divine mind, is flowing through your brain every moment of your life. And thus, you are in a position to contact a very high power. The mind of God is not something to be spoken of lightly. If the mind of God is flowing through you, if chitti is flowing through you every moment of your waking as well as your sleeping hours, all you have to do is to communicate. Yoga means to join. Yoga means to join what? Your fragmented brain to the mind of God. The preliminary work is to make this fragmented brain whole. And once that fragmented brain is made whole, to communicate with the mind of God, chitti, all the three universes, the physical, the astral, the mental, bhuva svaha, all the three universes flow in this mind of God, the divine universal mind of God. We are so like sponge in water in the mind of God. We are virtually soaked and yet we are unaware. What a pity, what a pity. Had it been on the Himalayas, I can understand you to climb the Himalayas. But when you are soaked into the mind of God, the brain is not able to communicate. There is no distance. There is not 1 millimeter of gap between your brain and the mind of God. This communication is a very worthy communication to be established as one of the requirements. And when this is done, there is a small word used in the Shastra, dharana. When you communicate with the mind of God, that state is known as dharana. When you go a step beyond, and communicate with Krishna sitting in your heart, another small word is used, and that is called dhyana. And finally, as in the Gita, when Krishna offers Arjuna, O Arjuna, he offers Arjuna something that no lucky person in this world has received such an honor. O Arjuna, hear in me as one. O Arjuna, hear in me as one. Behold the whole universe, the movable and the unmovable. And whatever else thou wouldest see. That is the second commentation. But Arjuna, stupid as I am, wanted to see the physical universe instead of merging in Lord Krishna at that very instant. Had he done that, it would have been the stage of samadhi. But it is a fashion to talk about dharana, dhyana, samadhi. Perhaps people do not know even the dictionary meaning of these words. These are communication at very high level. Before that, there is a very important step. That step is called Pratyahara. People call it detachment. They detach themselves from their wives and children. They detach themselves from the material world and go to some ashram or a quiet place. This detachment is more severe than the detachment of the retina. What happens then? You go blind. With this detachment, with eyes open, during broad daylight, you don't see the universe. That is called detachment. You understand me? When with eyes open in broad daylight, you cannot see the universe. It may happen for a moment. But when it happens, it's called pratyahara. That was for preliminary practices, I think. Pratyahara, dharana, dhyana are riches that cannot be described. Today, this vast universe that science talks of in light years and millions of light years, is very rich, is extremely rich. And the other universes Bhuva Svaha, Avijja still. And these small steps on the path of Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana will throw into your lap those riches beyond compare. If you are not willing, if you don't care to receive such riches, I think it's a bad karma. It's a bad karma that does not give you enthusiasm enough to work harder. Your people are very, very confident and boldly tell me that to sit daily for an hour in meditation. Meditation is not only a communication but a communion with the living God sitting inside of you, for whom you are built. A beautiful temple. Unless that position arises, there is no meditation possible. Meditation, dharana and dhyana, is not putting your mind to a particular subject. There is no subject. There is no object. It is communication. It is communion. And on that plane, on that spiritual plane, you don't need an hour. You need a few moments of your life. Those few moments on that plane is equivalent to many years of this material life. Wake up, friends, wake up. Make up your mind to be more serious. You have to gain much and lose nothing. And also remember, one outgoing breath does not guarantee an incoming breath. So it does not matter whether we are young or old. One outgoing breath does not guarantee an incoming breath. With the last breath, let there not be regrets that have failed in spite of the opportunity that was with me. This regret will eat you up in your next life. So remember, live in such a way that your last breath is very pleasant. The most important achievement in this life is that the last breath is very pleasant. To smile, you smile and go. Never mind, I have made the most of the opportunity that has come my way. As one author has written, when you were born, all around you were smiling and you alone were crying. Live your life in such a way that when you die, you alone are smiling and those around you are crying. Bring that position in life. It's very important. The last breath is more important than the first breath with which you were born. The intermittent breaths are left to you what you will do with them. That's your investment. How best you will invest all the breaths of your life. But when, after so much breathing, you cannot take care of your three-step rhythmic breathing, I don't know what you will take care of. The next sutra reads, the aim of this tree, which tree? Fiery aspiration, spiritual reading, and devotion to Ishvara. The aim of this tree is to bring about soul vision and to eliminate obstruction. What is the aim? Soul vision. There are some who tell me, I have seen light, I have seen that, I have seen this. Some even see the God they worship. I mildly tell them, do not be afraid of hallucinations. The word used here, the aim of this tree is to bring about soul vision. Vision. Today, your vision is imperfect. With that imperfect vision, you see,